Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. St. Patrick's Day. Hope you're wearing green out there. Annual reminder, Joe Rex Road. If you're a grown man and you pinch me for not wearing green, I will punch you. Annual reminder. Just feel like I have to throw that out there every year.
Very fair. I don't have any green with me at all.
Huh. I don't either. Could be a bad day for us.
Yeah. Oh well. I'll try to remember to punch people too if they pinch me.
Hal Gill coming up at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds and the Flyers coming up tonight. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Steve from Mount Juliet, who wants to weigh in. Steve, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Heard your comment that to keep Duchesne, Forsberg, and Johansson, you said it was $25 million?
At this point, if he gets $9 million, yeah, it'd be around $25
million. Okay. All right. Well, I'm curious. Let's compare that to the Tampa Bay Lightning. What are they playing for? Stamkos, Kucherov, and Braden Point. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Okay, yeah. And you also, I mean, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchesne, Philip Forsberg having great seasons. I don't know that anybody's confusing them for Stamkos, Point, and Kucherov. Now, Kucherov, right. The problem with him is he's been healthy, or hadn't been healthy the last couple of years, but when he's in there, he's pretty darn good. I mean, Stamkos is making 8.5 right now, which, you know, at this point in his career is probably right. Kucherov right now, he signed an 8-year, $76 million deal, so AAV of 9.5. So you're talking 8.5, 9.5 for Kucherov and for Stamkos. And I believe Braden Point right now, if I remember correctly, he's pretty cheap relatively. Cap hit at 6.75.
He's underpaid.
Yeah, 6.75. So, I mean, it's a pretty good trio. And then you've got, you know, Victor Hedman back there, too, and the best goalie in the world.
Right. And of course, the Preds have Roman Josi and his salary. But, I mean, if you compare, like, granted, again, this year, hey, if this is what you're getting from Forsberg annually, if this is what you're getting from Duchesne moving forward, okay, you feel great about that. But, yeah, if you compare that number of what that trio would be to those guys – It's
right around the same money, which
right,
is incredible.
Right. Yes. You know, and that's the thing. That's why this is not easy. I mean, I'm still saying you have to sign Forsberg, but it's not, I mean, it doesn't come free of risk, and you've got to be counting on. Here's another hope as a strategy moment. There's a lot of hope as a strategy, actually, in all of this stuff if you're a general manager of a pro sports team.
Well, and this is also one of those things, too, where some of this depends on when you sign your contract, right? Like with Point signing a couple years ago and Landeskog signing this past offseason, like some of that is timing. Like the salary cap has been flat, and at some point that's going to start to go back up for the NHL. So some of it is just timing of your deal. And sometimes you have good timing and sometimes you don't. And I think Philip Forsberg for himself, probably about to have some pretty good timing.
No doubt. Absolutely. But if that is what, you know, if that's what you're going to be investing, I mean, there's just a ton into those guys. But remember, let's think about how that looks now. Still like, okay, can it maintain? What are they going to be like moving forward? And think about what those Johansson and Duchesne contracts looked like a year ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely no chance of moving them, and it's just bad. So credit to those guys for changing that outlook pretty dramatically. And Duchesne in particular, just he's worth that money. He's worth every cent this year.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Switching gears to the NCAA tournament, Joe Rexrode, you are live in Indianapolis. The Vols taking on the Longwood Lancers coming up today at 1:45. So we'll see how Tennessee does there. They're an 18-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook at the moment. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot in the NCAA tournament. We see heavy favorites go down a lot, which is part of what makes it great. What do you make of today's games that you'll be seeing a lot of today? And we'll get to the Tennessee part of it here in a minute. We do have a question from Austin from Clarksville on the text line that says, what do you guys think about Baylor? Great strength of schedule and a deep team as well.
Yeah, I like Baylor. I like Baylor a lot. You know, basically, I'm looking at my bracket has Kentucky beating them in an epic game, but I like them a lot. They were not supposed to be this good. James Akinjo has been amazing for them. They obviously lost some great players from last year's team that won it all. I think they were picked like third or fourth in the Big 12, and they just
had a big
really
injury
good.
Though, and I can't think of who it was.
They just had a big injury in the
one of their players is out
in the Big 12 tournament.
Yes, one sec.
We're both LJ Cryer, yeah, and he's a good player. So apparently he's going to miss the first weekend. I think they'll be fine. You know, if they can get him back after this weekend. You know, then I think they'll be okay. But I like them a lot. They the way they guard, the way they, you know, the way they drive and shoot. They like you said, they've got depth. They're really good.
So what do you make of the games today? As you sit here looking at some of the matchups, we've talked about Tennessee Longwood, Michigan taking on Colorado State, Richmond and Iowa. Fascinating matchup between UNC and Marquette. UNC came on a little bit as the year closed out there. What do you think of the games today? For March Madness, Joe Rexroad's favorite day of the year.
Yeah, it's the first, you know, the first full day starts right here in Indy with Michigan, Colorado State, and that's one of the games I'm really most interested in. I haven't really been able to see much of Colorado State. They've been really good this year. 6-11 game. Michigan's the 11. Thought Michigan was going to be a play-in team, but they avoid that. These play-in teams have to play these wild games and then go fly out to like San Diego or Portland. Cause you know, that makes a lot of sense NCAA, but Memphis, Boise State, certainly that's one of the earliest games today is fascinating. And Memphis is capable certainly of winning today. And I guess at their very best, could they give Gonzaga some kind of a little scare in Portland? Maybe. Richmond, Iowa. I dread that game because I picked Iowa to go to the Final Four, and I just, you know, and I should have. I mean, I remember vividly the 1990 NCAA tournament. The first time a 15 ever beat a 2 was
the Richmond Spiders.
My beloved Richmond Spiders beating Jimmy Boeheim and the Syracuse Orange at that time. I think it was in 90 or 91, but, Richmond Spiders have a good history in this tournament of stunning people. That one could be interesting. Vermont, Arkansas. I know that Brennan picked Vermont to win that game.
Oh,
so take that for what you will. I mean, Creighton, San Diego State, 8-9s are always good. I mean, Indiana St. Mary's is a fascinating game.
Loyola?
That's not today, is it?
That's tomorrow at 11:15.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Yeah. That's a good one tomorrow. But the last game here in Indy is, you know, we're all kind of talking about this, Murray State, Kentucky,
yeah,
which I think we're going to get. But San Francisco is actually a really good team this year. 7-10 game, Murray's a 7. That could be a really good game to finish the day. I think we may have a couple of, I mean, frankly, here in Indy, we may see Tennessee and Kentucky kind of roll. And by the way, I've seen a lot of blue, as you would expect, but I've seen a lot of orange here too, walking around town last night. I think you're going to see a lot of both of those fans at Gainbridge Fieldhouse here in Indy. So the middle of the day might see those teams roll. I know their fans hope so, but the Michigan, Colorado State and the San Francisco Murray State games could be really good.
I just enjoyed your practice picture of Juwan Howard yesterday at Michigan practice. It was good photography by you.
Yeah, thank you for noticing that. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's very nice. Got to you know, hear the Michigan band play the Victors. You know,
did you ask Juwan Howard if he's going to be wearing a suit for the game?
I did not. I did not ask him anything. I did not want to anger him.
It's probably a good call. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do we make up for the path of the Vols as their tournament run begins today against Longwood. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Game Bracket Challenge is back. Sign up and play for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Indy 500 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Sunday, May 29th, and a pair of tickets to see Shinedown at Bridgestone Arena coming up on May 4th. Now that all the teams have been selected and it's go time, go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your bracket to compete. Got to do that soon here in the next couple hours. The Game Bracket Challenge is brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill, Days Delta 8, and Wager as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Hal Gill coming up at 9:30, looking ahead to Preds and Flyers tonight. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, the Tennessee Vols in action today as they kick off their tournament run in Indianapolis, taking on the Longwood Lancers. You will be there. You will be in attendance for that game today. What do you make of the matchup for Tennessee, and what do you really make of their path as the 3 seed? So much has been made this week of the Vols being a 3 seed instead of a 2 seed. What do you make of the way the path has worked out for them and their chances of going on a deep run, which both you, and as we found out earlier, Teresa Walker has, I believe, going all the way, if I read in between the lines there.
Yes, I think so. She's got them winning the whole freaking thing. Yeah, there's way too much positivity about the Vols' chances here. Now, I actually would like a redo and pick Longwood today.
Tennessee fans are terrified now.
Yeah. I've seen a fair amount of brackets. Certainly, they have been in the Final Four. I know, like, the Athletic, a lot, quite a few of our, probably 5, 6, 7 people, including me, of course, picked them to get to the Final Four. You know, today's matchup, I mean, I watched Longwood practice yesterday. You know, not that it tells you a ton, but you get a little feel for, you know, what a team's personnel is. And they look like a mid-major team. You know, inside they got a 6'6", 215 pound guy and a 6'6", 210 pound guy, you know, and neither of them are very productive. So although Jesper Granlund, is he related to Mikhail Granlund? I don't know.
Might have to ask.
But he is from Helsinki, Finland. See, if we had open locker room, which we don't have, we only have who they bring to the presser, that would have been an opportunity yesterday for me to go in there and say, dude, are you like third cousins with Mikhail Granlund, Jesper?
Please tell us.
And I did not know that anyone in Finland was named Jesper, but now we know. He does shoot 39.3%.
It's probably Jesper, but that's true.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Like Jesper Fast in the NHL.
Well, thank you. You're just ruining my fantasy. This is just like some oddity. Anyway, Jesper, maybe it's Jesper Renlund, and the G's also silent. He's number 35. He shoots 39.3%. He only scores 4 points a game, so, you know, he's not. So, but inside, they don't have a ton on the perimeter. That's where they're very good. So the guards, they got the 3 guards who all are good. Those are the 3 guys who talked yesterday. Isaiah Wilkins was at Wake and at Virginia Tech, 12.8 a game, 40% 3 guy. Deshaun Wade, 6'2". You know, he's a senior. Wilkins is a senior. He shoots 45%, averages 12 a game. And then their point guard, Justin Hill, who's just a sophomore, leads them in scoring and assists, 14-2. You know, so he's the matchup with Kenny Chandler and at times Zakai Ziegler. You just look at the matchup, and it's Vescovi and Josiah James and those guys. Like, they're just better than their guards. Does that mean a team like this couldn't execute incredibly well, start hitting threes, and make this really interesting? Of course that could happen, especially if the Vols help by turning the ball over and, you know, just not shooting well. I mean, that's where the Vols get in trouble sometimes, is they get enamored with the outside shot, and then all of a sudden it's been 4 minutes and the other team's gone on a 7-0 run.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing you worry about if you're a Tennessee fan, is will that offensive lull come about that we've seen at times this year and be costly? You know, you mentioned earlier some conversations in a piece you wrote on Josiah James and the way that you know, he just impacts this team. And obviously, I mean, we had Rick Barnes on last week, and he spoke glowingly about Josiah James and what he brings to the table. But my thing with him is, like, his ability to guard all five positions, not very many people in college basketball can do that. And that could be a big plus for Tennessee. You know, today in a matchup like you just talked about, like, this kind of feels like a John Fulkerson day. Like, he could get in there and do some damage. That's not maybe always the case. Maybe in Michigan's case, if they win against Colorado State in the second round, maybe that's not as much of a Fulkerson game. But having James in there that can really go anywhere, pretty big deal.
No, absolutely. And, you know, Plavsic becomes a bigger story in 2 days if they advance and it's Michigan.
Yep.
Because you have to have more size to deal with Hunter Dickinson. He can just shoot over Fulkerson with no problem. Today, yeah, I mean, I think Fulkerson and then Josiah James at the four, they're more than fine. But you want to still weave those guys in, and you're going to start with Plavsic. But you want to get those guys weaved in, and you want to get all those bigs kind of playing well and with confidence. They could be a totally different kind of matchup in 2 days if it's Michigan.
Will from Nashville on the text line confirming it's Jesper. There you go. Jesper.
Jesper Granlund. So, I don't know. I guess, like, if Longwood wins and he has, like, 20, maybe he will be available to media today. I know that Vols fans will find little solace in it, but I will ask him if he's related to Mikal Granlund, if that is the case.
probably is. I just don't know. Like, is Granlund a popular name over there in Finland?
It's probably like Simmons or Jenkins, right? Yeah, probably.
Like, apparently, Pekka, somewhat popular name over in Finland.
What about Jussi?
I don't know. You could ask Jesper all these things.
What's more popular, Tuukka or Pekka?
That's a good question. Both of them have been pretty good, so I imagine they get more and more popular as the coming years go on here.
That's right. No doubt. There's a bunch of kids named Pekka and Tuukka because of Pekka and Tuukka.
So what do you make of this side of the bracket for Tennessee with maybe a potential Villanova matchup looming if things go chalk? Now, are things going to go chalk? That's always the big question in the NCAA tournament because many times they don't. But I think a lot of Tennessee fans are kind of staring down the barrel of a potential Villanova matchup. If it gets to that, what do you think of that for the Vols?
Well, I would like their chances. I'm not saying, oh, no problem, piece of cake. But I think you could have much worse matchups. Let's look around elsewhere. Now, you've beaten Auburn. Now, that's the thing, is like the twos are all the other SEC teams. You've beaten Auburn and Kentucky. It stood to reason you wouldn't be with them, right?
Yeah.
Duke, would you rather have Duke? You know, I suppose the thing with Duke is when Duke does play well, they are incredibly loaded with talent. So their ceiling is still super high. Villanova is a more reliable, solid, like Jay Wright teams are kind of like Rick Barnes teams where that they always have like some juniors and seniors who aren't quite good enough to go to the NBA, but they're in the program. They're really good college players. So it would be a very tough game. Also, I really think Loyola has a chance to make that game not happen. I think Loyola has a chance to make that game not happen in Pittsburgh if those teams both win their first games. But we'll see. But it's probably Tennessee Nova, and it's a rematch. And I would just scrap the first game. Nova blew them out. It was the third game of the year. Josiah James tears tendons in his finger. He still doesn't know what play that happened on, by the way. And they were a mess. Very different team now.
It's incredible to think about. You can tear something in your finger and like, yeah, I didn't know. It's just whatever. It's just hanging there.
Well, he said apparently at halftime he looked down. It was in pain. He looked down and he's like, why is my finger like bent this way? You know? So the immediate thought is, okay, it's a fracture of some kind, but when you tear those tendons, which just sounds awful, doesn't it?
Yes.
Basically he was told, the doctors told him, like, you need to sit out for 12 weeks. If you sit out for 12 weeks, it'll heal. And also the big concern was if you play this season with it, with this big splint on your finger, you're going to have to change your shot to account for that. And then when it comes off, you may have a different shot. Well, we know he didn't shoot well this year.
Yeah.
He took that thing off in the Arkansas game, so 4 games ago. And he is 11 for 20 from three in those 4 games. I'm not guaranteeing that he's going to be going nuts here, but he's played 4 games without that thing on his finger, and he has shot extremely well. So yeah, something to keep in mind here.
Do you think the casual sports fan that is maybe we care about the college basketball when the tournament comes around. Do you think the casual sports fan is rooting for Duke to make a deep run in Coach K's last year, or are they rooting for him to get bounced very quickly? Because I can tell you which category I fall in.
I think the average sports fan overwhelmingly is rooting for them to get bounced. I mean, to me, Krzyzewski, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Krzyzewski was the young hotshot coach, you know, and like the entire country was rooting for Duke against UNLV and Jerry Tarkanian, yeah, you know, and in one of the best games I've ever seen in the tournament. And I know there's a lot of respect for him, but I feel like the average sports fan would love to see him lose and has loved it lately.
Be quiet. Everyone be quiet. I'll be sad when that day comes because I'm not going to be able to do that anymore.
Well, you sure you can. You can keep doing it. We should get the actual sound of that. Have it as a
I kind of like my
as,
sound
as a drop. But then let's also forget. No, let me talk.
Yes.
Let me talk now. These kids. Blah 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 blah.
ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 p.m. for the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. When we come back, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Get his thoughts on the Preds as they take on the Philadelphia Flyers coming up tonight. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Stanley Cup champion, Preds radio analyst Hal Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Skillsy, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. Just getting ready for, well, happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way.
You too.
Get ready for a big tilt tonight.
Big tilt tonight coming up in Philly, the city of brotherly love. Going to be a big night for Claude Giroux as well. His 1,000th career game, all with the Philadelphia Flyers. I know you spent a little bit of time as his teammate. You've played against him as well. What do you make of the career that Giroux has carved out for himself with 1,000 games coming tonight in Philly? And then we'll see after that when it comes to the NHL trade deadline.
Yeah, pretty awesome that he's doing it with Philly to stay here. He's they love him in this city. He's a guy that kind of came in and a skilled player, but kind of played with an edge. You know, he's always been a little bit of a grinder. He's had a little fight in him, and a lot of fun to be around. A great leader for this team. So if they do trade him, I know they're going to miss him, but I think it's pretty cool that he's getting his 1,000th game and. To do that all in one city is pretty impressive.
Hal, how does the most recent stretch here of games for this team compare to the best hockey they were playing earlier in the season?
I like where they're at right now. I think they've gone through. I think all those struggles that they've gone through have been mental ones. You know, like I feel like they were really good at identifying who they were early on in the season and playing to that identity. And then I think they got confident and they felt like they could win every night, and they expected to win every night. And then it kind of got away from them where they got overly confident and tried to do too much. And now I think they backed it off. And so they're at that point where they have confidence that they can win every night, but they're putting in the work. They're not expecting it to just happen. And so, you know, the last few games, you've seen what they can do. I think they had a good one against St. Louis. It just kind of, you know, it was kind of a weird game and it got away from them. But, you know, a good one in Minnesota, follow up a really good game against Pittsburgh, and here you go. You're playing some good hockey now.
How important do you think that goal for Elli Tolvanen could be the other night? Getting down there on the breakaway and the placement of that shot, how big do you think that could be for his confidence moving forward?
Huge. I think he's – I really like the way he's played. He's played well on that with Gronlund and Cunning. I think that line has been good as a checking line, and you're just waiting for it to come around because you know Cunning can score goals. You know Gronlund can score goals and throw out some beautiful assists as well. And then you know Ellie can shoot. And so I think it's just a matter of getting that confidence. He has that confidence in his defensive game, and he's blocking shots and hitting and heavy on the forecheck. He just needs to get over that hump, and maybe that was the goal that changes everything. And now he starts seeing corners and picking them.
Does emphasizing those other aspects, which of course, as when Tolvanen came in, that was the word. It was like, can he be physical enough and all that? Can he, you know, can he be good enough in the defensive zone, et cetera, et cetera? Does getting a lot better at that, working so hard at that, can that sometimes cost you offensively?
I don't know. It does. You know what? He's getting the chances. It's just sometimes, like, he ripped one the other night that he just missed the net. You know, it's like, if he wasn't getting the chances, if he wasn't getting the looks, I'd say, yeah, you know, he's playing too defensive, but I wouldn't change a thing with the way he's playing because he's a huge asset the way he is right now. Obviously, you want him to score goals, but if I'm John Hines, I'm just saying, hey, go keep playing, kid. You're playing great, and I have confidence that those goals are going to come. And you got one the other night, and like you said, maybe that springboards him and gets him going.
Hal Gill on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Hal, it seems like we talk about Roman Josi with you every single week, but he kind of feels like he's like especially on a heater right now, especially offensively with the way that he's been playing. When you start to look at the Norris Trophy race with him and McCarr and Hedman and Fox and any name you want to throw in there, there's great competition for the award around the league. What do you think makes Roman Josi the favorite? What do you think should make Roman Josi the favorite for that award?
It's so tough. Like, you know what's amazing to me is that I sit there and watch Roman Josi and go, how the heck does he have 4 points tonight, 2 points another night, another 3 point game? You know, that's like, it's almost like when he has 1 point, it's like off night. You know, it's like it didn't really come around for him, which is bizarre. And then you look at McCarr, it has similar numbers, and you're like, how are these guys doing? It's what Roman Josi is doing is incredible, and you look around the league and there's other guys doing it. But I will say, Roman, I'm just, the way he carries the play, there's no defenseman in the game that can do that. I don't think there's any forwards that can do that. I almost put him over McDavid with his ability to just hold the puck in the offensive zone and keep away. And so every time he does that, he's bringing defenders to him, and he's able to, I've always underrated him as a passer, but you're seeing how good he is at moving his feet and pulling someone away and opening up passing lanes. And I've been real impressed with that. And then defensively, he's been good. He's been really solid. Good. He had a couple great poke checks, anticipating plays. So I just don't see a better defenseman in the game. But it is impressive that there's other guys with similar numbers.
Well, then Hal, you know, Matt Duchene, we've talked about him a lot. We had him on yesterday saying that, you know, this may be as good as he's felt. I think he said mentally, you know, in terms of his approach and everything like that. But how impressive is it? I know that he's young. I mean, he's only in his early 30s, but a guy who's been taking the bang in this league since he was 18. How impressive is it for him to not just bounce back from like last year to this year, but to be this good and productive after all that hockey that you've logged?
Yeah, it's well, now we're watching him and you wonder how he was, what happened, how did he not put up numbers in the years before? You know, like he's fast. I mean, like when he's motoring, he beat out an icing the other day and poked it, and he scored a goal off a nice play from Johansson and Forsberg, but he had no right being in that play. It was just straight speed. And so I don't know what bell went off in his head. And he talks about confidence, and he changed his stick, and he did little things. But it's, you know, he's going for it. it's almost like he can't be denied right now, and that's fun to watch if you're a Preds fan, because I've always seen the skill. It's just like, you know, those quick cutbacks in the corner. Now he's taking them to the net. It's a cutback and a hard drive to the net, and that's different from last year where he was a cutback and then he'd go off the boards looking for space. He's playing a more direct game, and he's getting rewarded for it. So I just don't see him stopping either, which is even more fun to think about, because the Preds could do something with Forsberg and Duchene going. They could do something.
Hal, last thing for you here. With the deadline coming up on Monday, I don't know how active the Predators are going to be. It seems like things are starting to get moving a little bit around the league. If you had to identify maybe an area or two for David Poile to take a look at, what do you think that could be as Monday approaches?
Well, it's tough. I think the thing I would be concerned with is I think you have really good team chemistry right now. And so you don't want to disrupt that. So you don't just go out and get something. You could add another defenseman, you know, like as a depth guy, maybe a veteran that's been there and, you know, that isn't going to disrupt the back end, but can play if they need him to. You could add another veteran forward, but I wouldn't be too crazy about going anywhere with trying to land the big player. I know it's tempting to put a guy on the second line to boost that scoring on the second line, but I just think if you do that, you're kind of blocking out an eruption from Tomasino or Tolvanen, and I think those guys they've been patient with those guys and waiting for them to start putting it in. So I would just be tentative if I was David Poile, but we'll see.
Hal Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Hal, tell us about your friends at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, you talked about one at the new next-gen at Cool Springs Boulevard, another new one at 1645 West Main Street in Lebanon. Go check it out. Of course, you need a Shamrock Macchiato made with Irish cream swirl. You need to go get one today. Go drive there now and get it. You can also get a salted caramel cream cold brew. They have a roasted tomato toast. You can get it with hummus or avocado. It's fantastic. Go try it out. Of course, you have delicious donuts. Try a chocolate croissant. Those are delicious as well. My daughter's favorite. And, of course, the best coffee in town. So go treat yourself. Go get your dunks.
Skillsy, happy St. Patrick's Day. Enjoy a green beer. We'll talk to you down the road.
You got it. Sláinte.
Hal Gill, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning at 9:30. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got some breaking news on the Titans front as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this St. Patrick's Day here in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dennis texting in says, Skillsy basically described himself as the type of guy the Preds need to add. Sign him up. He did talk about a veteran defenseman that maybe wouldn't shake things up too much. Skillsy could give you, I think, 5-10 games.
If you were coaching a team, would you put him on the ice before Ben Harper?
With the way that Harper's played as of late, no. I think he's played better. I think he's been better as of late.
He's a big Ben Harper guy now. Yeah. You're a big Ben Harper guy.
Yeah. Well, they ruined my Get the Puck to Matt Luff t-shirt, so got to come up with something else. Nate on the text line says, Preds shouldn't do anything. This was supposed to be the year of the young players. Actually let them play and see what you have. Don't trade for anyone if it doesn't have to do with Forsberg. This comes from Nate on the text line.
Yeah, I guess I would say to that, you know, see what you have. I mean, they're in a playoff race. So, you're trying to get in the playoffs, you're trying to win in the playoffs. So yeah. you're not in see what you have mode. But I would agree that, like, I wouldn't do anything too costly.
I don't think they will. Like, I don't think the mindset for David Poile is going to be just going out and crazy, adding pieces left and right. Now, would I be surprised if they added another defenseman? No. Would I be surprised if they added a middle six forward for a low cost? No, although I will say, like, the middle six forward cost to me is weird now because Cal Yarncroke just fetched three picks in a draft, which is just amazing to me. But it happened. Second rounder, third rounder, and a fourth rounder in different years.
Incredible. I mean, it really is incredible.
I mean, that just tells me that I guess a lot of people wanted Cal Yarncroke. That's what that tells me, is there was, in essence, like a bidding war. And Friedman and Johnston and, like, all the insiders, LeBron last night, were talking about that. There was a bidding war for Cal Yarncroke, and the Flames won. Now he's reunited with his cousin, Elias Lindholm, which is pretty cool.
I mean, does this mean we need to go revisit the Yarncroke-Junot protection?
Let's not. Yeah, I don't think so. Joe, some news on the Titans front. We wondered if the Titans can move some more money around, especially on the defensive side of the ball. What would they do with Zach Cunningham's deal? Field Yates putting it out there, says other teams creating cap space with contract restructures. The Vikings at $6 million via Harrison Smith's deal. The Bills at a little bit over $5 million via Matt Milano. And the Titans at about $6.45 million with Zach Cunningham's deal. So we wondered, would they let Zach Cunningham back and play on a $10.5 million cap hit? The answer is no. They have done some restructuring to Zach Cunningham's deal, it appears.
Yes, and I've tried to get more details. Don't have anything right now on what exactly the deal is, but confirmation that they have restructured it. 6.456, that's space. You add that to what you're going to get with – well, look, again – consider the Julio Jones savings, you know, post June 1. Consider that the money for the rookies. It shouldn't cost quite that much, but, you know, that's what that is. So you can set that aside. But now with this, one, they were pretty clear, and here's something that they said, and it, you know, like, here's something from Indy that turns out to be factual. They are keeping Zach Cunningham. I don't think that's a surprise, but this is confirmation.
Yeah.
Also confirmation that they've done something with his deal to create that space. I'm very interested to see exactly what it is now. That's a huge deal for the defense, first of all, to know you have him. And now you, I mean, I think you've got to think real hard about paying too much to a box linebacker anymore. But David Long and Zach Cunningham for a full season with everything else they have, it looks pretty good.
I like the sound of that.
You know, that's a defense that could be really, really good. He came right in and immediately was just throwing people around. And so with an off season and everything, it could be very good. So that's great news for their defense and the fact that they were able to create space. I mean, that to me is money now that pays a tight end. Not sure who, but it pays some tight end. Maybe they keep going with this and they do more and they get a receiver too in free agency, but certainly a tight end.
Well, and I feel like that needs to happen soon, and maybe it will. Like, maybe that does happen soon, but, you know, the tight end, they've got to get that part of it figured out. We've talked so much on this show about other teams in the AFC are making moves, and they're, you know, O.J. Howard goes to the Bills yesterday. All these tight ends have come and gone. By the way, Rob Gronkowski, there was a video of him yesterday in a barbershop down there in Tampa where he was like, yeah, it's a pretty good chance I'm coming back to the Bucs. And I was like, wow, breaking news there. Rob Gronkowski might play with Tom Brady.
How about that? Yeah, so Gronk to the Titans.
It's
sounded
dead.
Good for a couple hours.
It did. Joe, got a couple of minutes left here. What are you most intrigued by today in Indy with the NCAA tournament?
Well, I'm most intrigued by the Vols simply because I'm focused on the Vols. So I'm intrigued to see how they come out and play. Did they let Longwood hang around and let Longwood sort of make this one of the, I mean, every, you know, these timeouts are longer in the NCAA tournament. You know why? More commercials. This means, you know, coaches actually change their rotation sometimes because of that, because sometimes it's like, okay, I'm going to get like my starting point guard out a couple minutes before the under eight, and then you'll get that extra time. Now it's like, well, the under eight timeout itself is enough rest.
Yeah.
But those timeouts are longer, and each four-minute timeout you get to that the underdog is hanging around, it's almost like you can just feel the pressure building and building and building. and the buildings and the actual building senses it too. So can they, you know, come right out and sort of just brush that aside and play a good game and be fresh. And also, by the way, not have to play a Kennedy Chandler 38 minutes or Josiah James, you know, all the way to the end. That would be helpful. So, you know, we'll see how they play. But I'm very intrigued, certainly, by Michigan, Colorado State, the first game. The first game of this round, which will be right from here. So I think it's – yeah, I believe these are on CBS, correct? Yes. Yeah, both of these games are CBS, Michigan, Colorado State, and then Tennessee, Longwood. It's a fascinating game. And Michigan's still a team that has the kind of talent that could be problematic if they play their best basketball. So, I mean, a Michigan-Tennessee matchup would be very much now focused on the bigs for Tennessee if it gets to that.
It would be nice to see Tennessee not have to sweat one out today against Longwood. Just go ahead and take care of business. Again, 18-point favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe, have you seen what Carson Wentz is wearing? Apparently, he's being introduced right now as the new quarterback of the Washington Commanders. Got a nice gold jacket on and the burgundy undershirt, the Washington Commanders colors. That's probably the only time, and Ryan Porth put this out on Twitter. You'll see Carson Wentz in a gold jacket, baby.
Yeah, is he trying to say that's where he's headed, or is he saying this is my one chance for people to see me in a gold jacket?
A little ketchup and mustard action.
I don't know. That's quite the look. But, hey, congrats to Carson Wentz, though. I'm sure he'll have a great time out there in Washington. And, you know, that offensive line sucks, so he gets a run for his life over there, too. Be good stuff.
Oh, now I get it. Now that I see the picture, okay, he's wearing Commander's colors. Yes, okay. Beautiful. All right, I guess it's a little it is. You're right, Michelle. It's a little more mustard than gold, isn't it? Yeah. And that's probably appropriate for him.
Yes, that's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexro. Joe, have fun at the tourney.
Oh, I will. You know I will.
Absolutely. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.